All right, God is good. We have Joel to share this morning what the Holy Spirit has to say. And it was powerful this morning in Dallas. It was really powerful. Powerful, powerful. So God is good, God is great. And I'm just going to, y'all, does everybody know Joel? Oh, good. Does anyone not know Joel? You don't? Oh, you'll like him. Okay. Joel, she doesn't know you. So you introduce yourself to her. That lady back there in the blue. That one. There you go. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. How do you turn this off?
Again, bring you greetings from Uganda, from Sarah, my wife, and all our daughters and the church. They convey their love and greetings to each one of you, and we are so much grateful for the team that came to Uganda recently, and we are so much blessed with the teachings of Pastor Jim and the rest. And the church in Uganda is never the same. And again, we thank God for Craig, who came back and inspired so many people, and he was used mightily in spreading the word of God and work around with us in our daily work. And we wanted to exhaust him, but he's a rock. I mean, he can work. And God is good, and he is blessing us, and is blessing his people, and is making the church to continue to be strong and grow. And the champions, you are our son. I mean, many of you, you have supported the champions, the orphanage project for years and years. Many of them, they are now big boys, and they have grown up. They always gather together, especially on Fridays, and pray for Emmanuel Church, and pray for Pastor Jim, and all the friends that have ever been in Uganda. They always lift you in prayers, and they love you so much. And so just some few months ago, we had a very hard time of many of them getting sick, and we had about 30 of them in the hospital, which was not actually an easy time, but thank God, because after some few weeks we are done with everything. Everybody was doing well except one young boy by the name of Francis Opiding. I think he was sponsored by Vicky and her husband. That one didn't make it. He died, and he went to be with the Lord. He's our dear friend. He was our dear friend, and I had so many questions when he died. I asked God so many questions. I said, Lord, how comes you didn't let this young man grow? And I wanted to know, to see what was going to happen in his life. But I realized later that he has going to be in a better place than this world, and one time we shall meet there. And we left everything in the hands of God. So anyway, that's what is happening there. And I'm happy to be here again. We came five pastors in the pastors and ministers conference somewhere in Orlando. And we are sponsored to come to that conference. And we had a very, very wonderful time to meet so many other ministers around the globe. And we are seated on the table after lunch, and Alex, my brother, my mentor, He said, now what is next? I'm asking everybody except Joel, because I know where Joel is going. He's going to Emmanuel. I can't afford to go back without coming here and meet so many of you. And thank you for the work you are doing with us. Thank you for praying and sponsoring us. Thank you for sending the team. I mean, the coming of Pastor Jim means a lot to us, especially to pastors and even our families and married couples. They love Pastor Jim so much, and he's a father of many and a disciple of many pastors in Uganda. And I remember this previous time they came, we went to many different places. We decided to go to another town where we had good meetings. And I remember we exchanged with Brother Craig, going this in this conference, then we go to this one, and then exchange, going this one, and he goes that side. It was very exciting, and people were so much blessed and to hear the things they have never heard before, the principles of marriage. And I tell you, our marriages are strong, and we are ready to keep our wives forever. And many of our wives, they love Pastor Jim so much. Especially my wife, I mean, she noticed a very big difference ever since we learned some principles from his teachings. And he always say, remember, Pastor Jim says you have to take the burdens and I take the blessing. And it's my prayer that you send him back again to us. And I want to thank you for sharing your pastor and other ministers with us. Thank you so much for that. If you get tired of them, just send them to Uganda forever. We shall take care of them, and we love them. You are blessed to have them here. I don't know whether you know how blessed you were to have someone or some people that bring the word, the real truth, and not compromise the gospel. That is rare in our time, not only here but even in Uganda. We are having so many funny teachings which can make someone grow. But Pastor Jim, thank you for being bold to share the truth in our time, where many people don't want to hear the truth, but to hear. The Bible talks about inching ears, that people want to hear what they want, not what they need. But you always give us what we need. That's why we always look forward for your coming. I don't know when the team is coming back, but I believe you are coming. Even if you want to go back with me this time, we are ready. We are ready for you. When Pastor Jim told me that I'm sharing today, I prayed, and God, I believe, he gave me this brief message. It's not actually a long message. It's a brief message. And part of it is updating you what is God doing in our country. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for your loving kindness and your tremendous mercy. Thank you for our dear brethren in this church and in this country at large. We thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in our time, especially between Emmanuel and All Nations Church. Lord, we thank you for sending them to us, and they come with such anointed teachings of the word and all the blessings they have really given to our people. Lord, I thank you for that, and it's my prayer even today as I stand before them. Lord, I ask you, Lord Jesus, to help us to understand what you want us to know. Word says that one word is enough, is sufficient for a wise man. Lord, I believe that you are with us and you are blessing us with your word in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to talk about how God is doing his work in our time. God is looking for humble and ordinary people for extraordinary work. God is looking for humble and ordinary people for extraordinary work. And I tell you, brethren, God is at work. He's working everywhere around the globe. And more especially, God is working great work in our country, Uganda. I was born there, I was spoiled there, and I was redeemed, saved it there, and I'm serving God there, and I love it there, because I'm seeing what God is doing over the years, and our country is really changing in a better way than ever before. Uganda, as I told you, that is a country that went through difficult times of civil war, one after the other, which disorganized the families, and people, they used to be running here and there, and then AIDS epidemic that really stripped and killed so many people. But now we see Uganda as God is resurrecting Uganda back to life. We are like coming down from the pit and coming back. I'm happy to be there to witness what God is doing, and he's an awesome God. But what I realized is that God is looking for ordinary people, humble, ordinary people, so that he himself do an extraordinary work through those people for his glory. And what I've realized is that if we want to be part of the move of God in our time, there are some things we have to consider. There are some things we have to know. If you don't mind, I want to go with you in the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 2, and verse 42. The book of Acts, chapter 2, and verse 42. I'm reading from NIV version. Might be different from yours, but since it is your language, I think you'll not have any problem understanding these words. Again, I'm reading from Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and prayer. 43. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to one, not to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke breads in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added their number daily, those who were being saved. May the Lord bless his word. As I said that if we want to be used by God, if we want to be part of what God is doing in our time, we have to go back to this early church, how they started. These are the some of the believers who first got saved during the apostles' time when Jesus left and went back to heaven. The Bible says that those believers, they continued steadfastly. They committed themselves. They devoted themselves to the teachings of the apostles, or to the doctrine of the apostles, which is the doctrine of Jesus Christ, which is the Word of God. There are four things I want to mention in this portion of scriptures that made the first church strong, and they excel and they expand in many areas. Number one, the Bible say talked about the apostles' teachings. They continued, they devoted, they loved the Word of God. They studied the Word of God. They were groomed in the Word of God, which is the truth of the Word of God. They wanted to know more. They had that hunger of not satisfied with what they knew, but they continued to know, to love the Word of God and to hear from God. I remember what the Bible talks somewhere. Paul said that, I want to know him. I want to know him. The only way we can know God is through his word, through the teachings of his word, being discipled, sitting under the teachings of the apostles, the pastors, the people that God has given us to feed us his word. If we are to do that, believe me or not, something is going to happen. God is going to do something. God always wants to use somebody who know him. I mean, it's good to know him. And to, when you know God, it's obviously that you are going to know yourself. You can't know yourself well, not until you know God. Not until you know God. And the only way we know God is through the teachings. That's why I stood here and I thanked you to send Pastor Jim to come to Uganda. Because for us, we just say, give us more. Give us more. We need to know more. We are ignorant. We need to know more. We are far away. We need to know more. And God is always looking for such people who are thirsty, who are hungry for his word. So the first church began with that. They loved the word of God. And number two, what they did, they actually, they continued steadfastly in fellowship. They always fellowshipped. And the Bible says that in church, in home churches, in small groups, they used to gather together in one accord. They had that bond of brethren and loved one another and shared and spend time together in the Word of God. I remember where the Bible, Paul, he was warning the people, and he said, never avoid to assemble. Never avoid to come together as brethren. I was talking in Dallas Church, and I told them about the people who are in our days trying to have church, on TV. I mean, they say that my church is on TV. And my pastor is far away, like, we have them even in Uganda, they have their pastors who are here, and they always fellowship on TV. but to me, I don't understand that part, because when you don't come together, you miss that brotherly atmosphere, the intimacy, the love, the bond. I mean, which is very, very vital in our lives. So the Bible here says that for these people, they really continued steadfast in fellowship. And then number three, breaking of bread. You know, when we always come on the Lord's table and share the bread and that cup, that always brings us together with Christ. We remember what Jesus did. We always get thankful for what Jesus did for us, and that brings the bond together with our Christ. So they continued steadfastly doing that. And lastly, They continued steadfastly in prayer. And I want to put much emphasis on that. They continued steadfastly in prayer. And prayer is simply talking to God and God talk to you. That, to me, that's how I can define prayer, because it is a conversation. In fact, before I came to know Christ, I told you this story of the guy whom I was trying to fight to death because he was witnessing Christ to me. When I went to his house, I found this guy praying. I mean, the way he was talking to God was different from mine, because as a Catholic, as a religious person, I used to recite prayers and pray the rosary, talking to God through Mary. But this God was communing to God as a friend, and as if God was there. So prayer is talking to God and God talking to you. It is very important for even in our time to take those four points important, to take them as important. Word of God, fellowship, breaking of bread, prayer. Prayer in Uganda is our way of living. God answers prayer. And we have realized for sure that God is doing everything. We are just vessels or stewards of what God is doing. But God is doing his work. And what God is doing in our ministry in Uganda, I don't believe that there is anybody who can take any credit, because it is all about God. So in every time, every day, we think about talking to God as important. His word and prayer. We always, always take that as important. And we have seen God doing the impossibilities. I mean, doing things which are so hard for man, as it is written, that what is hard and impossible to man is very easy and possible to God. We have seen God doing the impossibilities, I mean, the mountains. More especially, a liver part, opening up churches and preaching the gospels in hard places and see miracles and see people getting healed and see miracles and upstanding miracles everywhere the gospel is preached. But even in the area of the champion, ever since we started taking care of the kids, the champions, the orphans, I've really seen God, and I have a lot to testify and to assure you that God is looking for ordinary, for extraordinary work. God is looking for people who are going to say, "Yes, Lord." God is looking for people who are going to be waiting, just like Peter. Before he walked on water, he prayed and he said, "Lord, if you are the one, just let me come where you are." To me, that was, I don't think I can pray such prayer. But this man knew Jesus. He knew him, that whatever word that comes from him makes the counts and make the difference. He said, "Speak to me to come on water, just as you are walking on water." And the guy went out of the boat when Jesus told him to come, and he walked on water because he believed someone who can do the impossibilities, what is impossible to mankind. Scientifically, man can't walk on water, but because of his word, this guy knew that it can happen. So just a simple way of doing a small thing and let God do something else is to pray and to listen. These days I've been thinking about people like Moses. Moses, in his time, he was just an ordinary man. And when God came to call him, He thought that he was not able to do the work he was called to do. And he hesitated, and he said, "Lord, send someone else. I'm not the one. I'm not the right person to do that. You can send somebody else. I'm stumbling. I can't do it. But God insisted and he said, okay, if you are on that that level of knowing that you can't do it, then you are the right person. Because through you, I'm going to do exploits in your time. Then Moses, when you think what God did in his time, marvelous and wonders. When we read Hebrews 11, that is the chapter of the heroes of faith, we can see that all of those people listed in that chapter were just ordinary people. When you think about Gideon, when you talk about Joseph and many others, they were just ordinary people like me, maybe like you. But God decided to use them in their time, because God is looking for ordinary, for extraordinary work. People are not going to question God forever. Those who are going to say yes to what he's saying. These days, God is revealing this story of the widow in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 7 to 16. And it is so strong here in my heart. And I've seen the same thing happening in our ministry. And I want to share that with you. If you don't mind, we can go to 1 Kings chapter 7 and verses chapter 17 and verse 7. 17 verse 7 up to verse 16. I'm going to read. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called and said, "Bring me, please, a piece of bread." Verse 12, "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread. I have a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, there that we may eat it and die." Wow. Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as I have said. But first make a small cake of bread for me and for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord God of Israel says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land." As I was actually trying to study this story, I think many of you know much about this guy, Elijah and the widow. But from the scriptures we have just read, I see things I can't understand. This is God is sending Elijah to a family, to a home where they had nothing. And even Elijah himself, he had nothing. I mean, he didn't have this big money to go and buy food for this widow and the orphan. And even the widow, she didn't have any
she didn't have much. The Bible says that there was only one meal remaining, and that one meal was enough for only one day. And after that, they were thinking of dying because of course, if you don't eat, you die. And I wonder how God can do that. But this takes me back to the time when we started to take care of the orphans. I tell you, brothers, I thought that maybe God is going to bring me a very rich man, like Tiger Woods and all those basketball players who are earning a lot of money, and then from there we are going to do the work. And I was really struggling in prayers, and I said, Lord, this is a need, and I am I'm sure that you are in this, and Lord, how are we going to, how is this going to happen? How are we going to take care of the kids? And I don't have this money, but yet there is a need. And God talked to me, spoke to me, and he said, not everybody is given an opportunity to share in what I'm doing in the kingdom. Not everybody. I mean, it doesn't mean that someone must be rich to do the work I've called you to do. And man, for your information, it's not going to take one man. It's going to take the kingdom. I didn't know that that very moment, but afterwards I realized what God was telling me. After seeing God, how he supplied, I mean, how he met the needs of our kids. Now feeding 385 kids every day, three meals a day, that's a big meal. and actually, that's big money. And people, they think that Joel is someone having a big account. He doesn't want to say, but he's a very rich man, and he's having a big account somewhere, and that's how he's able to do that work. But I tell you what, our account is always like this. Always comes down in red, and there are times when you go and open up and see what is on account, and you say, oh God, I don't know what is happening. But, and I tell you, in our ministry, no one is taking the credit. Even the champions, they know that God is God who can supply all the needs of his people according to the riches in through Christ and his glory. I mean, that's why we take prayer important. And we believe that God answers prayer. And we believe that when we pray according to God's way, according to God's will, God is always there to answer your prayers. And that's what God wants. God wants us to be proud of him. God wants to use the ordinary. The people are going always to humble themselves and say, God, you are God, and I'm a man, but you are God, and you are God who performs your work beyond and above of what we can pray and imagine. Like when Pastor Jim came, I shared this in Dallas Church. He came with a group. We had a wonderful time with the Word, and studying and giving us the messages and profound messages and Word. And everybody was really happy and encouraged and strengthened. And right after that, we went to the champion's home, and they talked to the champions and loved them, and we toured around. And when we went to see the soccer field which we were building that time, and I remembered that there was a house which we were praying to get for many days. And I told Pastor Jim that, you see that house? Every night we come and lay our hands upon it because that house is on sale. And we always tell God that nobody is going to come and buy this house until we get the money to buy the house. Anyway, this house was on a good land, and it was built up to the wall plate, hall plate, and then which means there's no roof on it. They built to that level when you're putting the roof. But it was a good and centered in a very good place, just close to our land, and we needed it badly, but we didn't have money. And I said, "What? But we are believing God." Pastor Jim came here, and I believe you guys, you sent enough money for us to buy that land. That was a big deal. That was God. That was a mighty God moved in that area. You may not understand it well, but for us there, it was a miracle that really God performed, because the guy was building this house, but his wife was scared of the witch doctor. The neighbor was a witch doctor. And the wife said, "I can't stay close to the witch doctor. I don't want my kids to die." And for us, we said, "Okay, thank you, Lord, for the witch doctor." So when the land and the house was paid off, and the witch doctor knew that we bought the land, she told everybody there that, okay, they bought it, but they will never put a roof on it. I mean, what she said, that nobody will live in that house. It will never be complete, and it will never be used for good purposes. So anyway, when they told me, I just laughed. I said, "God, who helped us to buy that house, is greater than the God that witch doctor is serving. In God's timing, we are going to have the roof on that building, and everybody will know that we are serving a living God." So many things have been happening which actually blew my mind. Let me share this. There was one guy from West Virginia. This guy, he said that God told him to come to Uganda. And he finally met somebody who have ever been to Uganda, and he said, "I don't know where Uganda is, but God is telling me to go to Uganda, and I have to go to Uganda. There's an orphanage in Uganda. I don't know where to find that orphanage in Uganda." And until finally he met our friend Tom Wiseman, who told him everything about Blessed Hope. And he said, "I have to go this month." And my brother, and Tom Wiseman said, "Do you mind? You want to go with a group sometime in the future?" And he said, no. I'm working on greenhouses. This is the only time we have. The rest of the time I'm going to be busy. I have to go. I have to obey. Because I feel God is telling me to go to Uganda by the name of Randy. So he came. And my friend called me, and I said, "Let him come. We shall put him on test. We shall try him whether God is the one who sent him or not." So we're there at the airport with the paper on his, where his name was on that paper. And because we didn't know him and he didn't know us. And when he saw the paper, he said, "Oh, this is the one. Well, this guy came when we had just started working on the soccer field, because the soccer field was another big deal to us. No schools around there has a soccer field like what we have now. But we had to plant some grass, because there is a special grass you plant, and you have to plant one piece after the other. I mean, one piece at a time. Can you imagine a soccer field? But I saw this guy, he worked from morning to dawn. I mean, he worked every morning planting the grass. And he was thanking God and saying, "Thank you, God, because you sent me here. This is the new deal." And he worked every day. Not only that, he came with nothing. But when he came there, he started to see some needs, and he saw some of the shoes of the champions were old, and he called his wife back home, and his wife, I don't know how they did it. And finally, they were able to buy 130 pair of shoes to the champions. Not only that, but he bought 100 mosquito nets to all the kids. And he saw us how we are struggling with cutting grass, and he called back home, and he was able to get enough money to buy a very good grass weeder. That is God. One time, when he was getting out of my house, and he said, "Pastor, can you allow me to paint your garage?" I said, "What? I want to paint your garage." I said, "Are you sure? I don't have any paint." He said, "Don't mind. You just give me a chance." The guy painted the whole garage. He spent 2.5 weeks there. And every day he was productive. He was doing something substantial in the ministry. And on his day of leaving, I saw the champions crying when they were praying for him, because they saw a disciple. I mean, they saw love. They saw commitment. They saw someone sent by God. Exploits for God. I never expected this guy. That was a miracle. Let me tell you another miracle. One time, we had only 2 bags remaining in our store, 2 bags of corn flour, just like this widow here. And I told my wife that I'm going to go into debt. I have to find someone to lend us money. And my wife said, "No, why don't we give God time and see what he's going to do?" And I said, "Sarah, at this point, I don't have that faith. I don't have that faith." And she said, don't mind. Let us give him at least a day." After a day, my friend Alex Mitala, my mentor, he called me and he said, "I have a visitor here. She has been here for 3 days. But if you don't mind, I want to send her to the champions, if you don't mind." I said, "Okay." She came and looked around and loved the kids and walked around. And then finally, she didn't know what was going on, but she signed a check, which I never, with so many zeros, the check that helped us to feed the champions for a whole month and extra money to grow some more food on our land. Is that not God? That is God. He's looking for the ordinary, so that he may do an extraordinary work in our time. Then the other one, by the name of Randy, he's from Georgia. I've never met him. He doesn't know me. I don't know him. But I think he said that he went to our website, blessedhopechampionsorphan.com, and he saw the ministry, and he wanted to know more about that, and he talked to our friend Tom Wiseman. And he started doing substantial things in the ministry. He's the one who built the soccer field for us. That's a very big deal, and it's big money. I mean, bringing these strong, big bulldozers to level the land and bring the black soil, and that is big, big money. God did it. Not only that, he went ahead and buy all the tables and chairs in our dining room. I mean, now the champions, instead of sitting down or under the tree, they have the dining chairs and tables. And not only that, we were praying for a good restroom. We realized that some people, especially from this country, especially ladies, when they come to Uganda, they find it so difficult to use our lock latrines there. But my wife was so much concerned. I remember when Janet came there and the group, oh wow, it was not easy. Wow. So we're praying. Do you know what? Now the restroom of 10 rooms is almost done. It's on final touches, built. And if you come again, I'm talking more especially to the mothers here, our sisters here. When you come, you'll not have any problem now. Because God intervened and he did something great, great, great. Then this is the last one. I felt to share this with you. Someone called Abigail. I don't know where is Abigail. Oh, Abigail. Abigail, I think before I leave this pulpit, I would like to give her a very special hug and prayer. I want to pray for her. But this is what happened. Abigail sent me an email. And she explained, I'm Abigail and the Cooper's family, and I'm one of the team came to Uganda, and when I saw the champions and felt so good, loved them. And on my birthday, I told my fellows that instead of giving me other gifts, let them bring that in terms of money. And I want to send that money to Blessed Hope Champions Home and Academy in Uganda. And I want to bless those champions. Abigail, God bless you. I tell you what happened. It was almost Christmas time. We gathered the champions and the other children in the church and the neighborhood children everywhere. And we had a very big bunch of people, of kids, and we had a very special Christmas day where every kid got at least a bag with some gifts inside, and we had a very big cake which we shared, and a very big meal that all the kids ate together, and that is including chicken. In Uganda, chicken is something great. And drinks like sodas, and because also a bottle of soda in Uganda, a kid to have that is very, 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 very important. But it took one young lady with an idea, which I believe that it was from God. And when I saw the group and I remembered Abigail, I said, God can use the ordinary for extraordinary work. And Abigail, on that day, all those kids, they gathered together and joined their hands together and prayed for you and your family. And they can't wait to see you again in Uganda. And I told them I'd be here this today, and many of them, they told me to give you this hug, which I want to do right now, if you don't mind, Abigail. God bless your heart. You're a servant of God. You're a servant of God. That idea was from God. You blessed so many people. And because of that, I want to pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for my dear sister, Abigail. Thank you for such an idea. Thank you for using her, Lord, to bless multitudes, Father. Lord, she denied herself of the gifts she was supposed to get on that birthday because she had the champions on her heart. Father, the Bible says that those who gives to the orphans lends God. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that, Lord, you stretch your hand and bless Abigail and bless the family. As she grows up, Lord, Father, I ask you, Lord, to grow in wisdom and understanding of the principles of the kingdom, and let her be used your way. Anywhere you want her to go for missionary, anything you want her to do in the kingdom, Father, help her to understand that. But Father, I thank you, and I give you all the praises and glory and honor in Jesus' name. God bless you. I want to wind up by prayer, but remember, brothers, they contend steadfastly in their apostles' teachings. They had that hunger. They never let that go. The time any believer get tired of the word of God, that's the time of sinking and going astray. They always continued steadfastly in fellowship. Fellowship. In Uganda, we reached at the point of not asking who is going to preach, who is there, who is the preacher. No, we realized later that assembling, coming together, matters a lot. That's what they did. Breaking of the bread. Make them one with Christ. That bond of love, remembering what he did. And also they continued in prayer. In prayer. And God did marvelous things. If the church go back to that, to those basics, I tell you what, God is ready to do exploits in our time. He's ready to send us in places we have never thought before. He's ready to reveal his work and to use us with the little we have, just like this widow. She had only one meal, but God used only that meal to feed servant of God and his kid and her kid. Food never stopped being in the store. There was always food. Because God is using the ordinary for extraordinary work. It's not a respect of people. I've seen God doing that in Uganda, not only with champions, but entire ministry. I've seen God doing and performing miracles. I've seen every aspect of miracle God doing it through these hands. Maybe one miracle is to raise the dead. But I'm still looking for that. If someone die, I always say, oh, Rabba Shaka, and wait to see what is happening. Because I believe God can do that too. He's using the ordinary for extraordinary work. How? The word of God, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, it's not by power, not almighty, but it's by your spirit. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for the great opportunity you have given us in our time to be part of what you are doing. Part of what you are doing, Father, because the Bible says that when you are in us, Lord, you perform your work. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing around the globe. And most of all, Lord, I want to thank you for what you are doing through this fellowship, this Emmanuel Church, Lord. The extraordinary work, ever since we are connected, get to know each other. The work you have done, the buildings, Lord, the fields, Lord, the everything that you have done, Lord, Father. When we see all the chickens, Father, 1,500 chickens there. When we see the cows, and when we see the goats, and when we see, Lord, the hogs, the pigs, and different crop, food that is grown on our own land, Lord, we just give you all the glory and honor. Thank you for using them. Thank you for sending Pastor Jim. Thank you for the group or the groups that always come. Thank you for Craig. And thank you for Cooper and everybody, Lord, you have sent, oh God. Thank you for Janet, who has just struggled, my God, to make all those uniforms, Lord. I thank you, Lord, and I give you all the praises and glory. And it's my prayer that you bless them in return. Keep their hearts safe, Lord. Let the peace that passes the understanding of people keep their hearts, Father, so that they may not be taken by the evils of this world, the evils that goes on around in this country and in many other places, Lord. Keep them in your hidden chambers, Father, and use them the way you want. In Jesus' name, amen.